Hello, and welcome to The Furnace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When the wise men saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Well, it's a very fascinating gospel and solemnity today. We have mysterious men bringing mysterious gifts. Now, I love this feast because it's very rich and mysterious. Now, these wise men, or magoi, as it would be read in Greek, where we get the word magi, offered Jesus gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, it's pretty odd gifts to give a newborn baby. Not very practical compared to, say, some nappies or a nice soft toy, something like that. But for the most part, in the church's tradition, these gifts have been understood to represent three aspects of the mystery of Christ. Gold points to the kingship of Jesus. The frankincense was used in the tabernacle for worship and hence symbolized his divinity. And myrrh was an ointment used for burial, so that points to the mystery of his passion. But the biblical nerd in me wanted to go a little bit deeper, so if you don't mind, here are two further insights that may help, and something to ask yourself is, where in the Bible are all three gifts mentioned together? Now, some like to point to Isaiah 60 or Psalm 72 about kings bearing gifts for this future king to come. And that's true, for at the heart of the message of the Epiphany is that all nations will come together to worship this future king, which is fulfilled in Christ. But to see all three together, one would realize that this is temple imagery. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh come together in one place, as you find in Exodus 30, when the priest offers incense and prayers on the altar of incense. Frankincense was one of those, and the altar was made of gold, and myrrh was used in the anointing oil that was poured out onto the priests and all the furnishings of the tabernacle. So what do you think this was pointing to? These gifts, I suggest, are the gifts of the new priesthood and a new temple found in Jesus come in the flesh. So that is no wonder why they got down and worshipped the child upon seeing him. For to go deeper still, the only other time we see them all together is in the greatest love song in the Bible, the Song of Songs, chapter 3. Here the bride is seeing her bridegroom coming from a distance and is perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, and the bridegroom was being carried in a palanquin made of gold. In other words, the song is using temple imagery to describe the bridegroom, who is moving towards his bride in a kind of liturgical procession. The gifts, therefore, can be seen as wedding gifts in the context of worship and liturgy. Jesus, in his humanity, becomes the new temple, the new priest, the new king, and lastly, the new bridegroom, who has come to marry us. As you may have guessed where I was going with this is all pointing to the Mass, for in every Mass, we enter the great liturgy and partake in the wedding feast of the Lamb. And like every Mass, we are meant to have the same posture as the Magi, who worship Jesus, but then, as Matthew says, they returned home, not the same way they came. When we go to Mass, let us not return home the same way we entered. Let us be transformed by him in the great liturgy that is the marriage of heaven and earth. Let us pray. O God, who in this day revealed your only begotten Son to the nations by the guidance of a star, grant that in your mercy that we who know you already by faith may be brought to behold the beauty of your sublime glory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.